top sci-fi author. No. Top 100 sci-fi authors countdown. Runners up part 2.
Welcome to the Sci-Fi Christian, bringing you theology at warp speed. I am Matt
Anderson.
Anderson.
Yeah. I'm Ben DeBono, everyone.
We are back.
Yeah, how about that? More authors, more runners-up. Now, if you feel like, hey, you guys are barely talking about these people, well, that's because they're the runners-up, everyone.
Yeah, if you like them so much, you should have voted for them higher.
Exactly. When we get to the top 100, and we're going through them 10 at a time, we will talk in much more detail about each author.
And what he means is Ben will talk.
Yeah. Especially as we get closer to number one, when we'll have a lot to say. Actually, without giving anything away, but I was surprised by how many of both of our votes are very near the top. So we have a lot here in the runners-up.
Both of our votes.
Like the people we voted for?
Yeah.
A lot of them are very close to the top.
That's great.
Yeah, so we did well.
All right, Ben. So, let's just dive in. So we're doing runners-up tonight, and I guess just take it away.
Let's hit the music.
The Sci-Fi Christian presents the top 100 sci-fi authors as voted on by our listeners.
Feel the energy.
I totally feel it.
And now your hosts, Matt Anderson and Ben DeBono.
Yeah, it's pretty exciting.
This is good.
So everybody on this, in today's episode, has received... So last time it was the runners-up who received only a runner-up vote, only a single runner-up vote. From here on out, everybody has received either multiple votes or a vote in the top 10 of a ballot.
So, but these are still not exactly ranked, right?
These aren't exactly ranked. They're roughly ranked, but we're not going to really start ranking until we get to
100. Okay.
All cool. Right?
Yeah, so just like last time, Ben will read through this list pretty quickly. And if I have, if I know the author, I will also comment and add my 2 to 3 cents.
Yeah, that's pretty exciting. All right, Lucius Shepard, sci-fi author of The Dragon Greali. I don't think I said that right. Felix Palma, Map of Time. I didn't put down genre probably because I wasn't sure. Diane Duane, a YA fantasy author of the Young Wizard series. P.D. James, a sci-fi author of a book that we're familiar with from the movie, Children of Men. Mm. Did you see Children of Men ever?
Yes.
Ah, that was a great movie. I should read this book. I really should. I should mark this down as to read for me. Hans Christian Andersen. Gotta love that guy.
Oh, yeah. He wrote lots of good fairy tales.
Yeah, Little Mermaid and others. Hansel and Gretel. Or maybe that was Grimm's. I don't know.
That was a Grimm for sure.
Yeah.
I have no idea.
Harry Turtledove. Who writes alternate history.
Now, this guy, I've never read any of his stuff, but it's appealed to me, but then you set me straight. You said, not good.
Yeah, he has really fascinating ideas, like aliens invade during World War II.
The ideas really have won me over, so I've picked up a few books, thought about reading them, but I think when we first started talking about books early on in our relationship, you did say, stay away from him.
Oh, I think he's a terrible, terrible writer, which is a shame, because his ideas are pretty cool. I mean,
alternate history is awesome.
It is.
Who is your favorite alternate history author?
I don't know. I'd have to think about it.
All right. We'll come back to that.
Yeah. Another day.
Let's do an episode on alternate history sometime post hiatus.
Okay. Poppy Z. Bright, a horror author. Aldous Huxley, Brave New World. Have you read Brave New World?
Oh, man. No, but this is one, again, I mean, I'm not just saying this. There's some that are kind of on the forefront of my mind that I want to get to. I'm not saying I'm going to get to them in the next month or maybe even the next year, but Brave New World, that's a book I'll read sometime before 2020.
Yeah.
that's good. That's my new goal.
Before 2020.
I'm going to write that down. That's a great idea. Books to read before 2020.
We could do a show on that.
Well, we're doing a huge series on authors.
That's true.
We'll probably have to take a break from books for a while.
Yeah. It's always good to take a break from books. Don't want to get too carried away. Lloyd Alexander, a fantasy author of the Priadin Chronicles, the late Ian M. Banks, a sci-fi author of the Culture series. I've read a little bit of his, one of his books, and I really need to read more. He's seems like a very interesting author. Robert Louis Stevenson, a little Treasure Island action.
Mm-hmm.
How about that? One of my runners-up. He got a second runner-up vote, which bumped him up. And I think this one's going to surprise some people. Roald Dahl.
Yeah. What? Why is he so low on your list?
Why is he so low?
Yeah.
Well, because I like a ton of authors better.
I don't actually know who he is.
You don't know who Roald Dahl is?
I was trying to add some intensity. Like
Charlie and the Chocolate Factory?
Oh, yeah. I know the...
Matilda. So I've been reading him to my kids.
Okay.
And I got to say, I think he is a genius. I think Charlie and the Chocolate Factory is one of two things. It's either an ultra-creepy book about a weird old guy who's really into kids and owns slaves, or it's a metaphor for divine judgment and God and is an absolute brilliant masterpiece. I've now read it twice. I just finished reading it to Owen last night, and I'd read it to Ellie earlier in the year. And I think that it is... an incredibly deep book, which you wouldn't expect based on the fact that it's about a chocolate factory. Yeah. I do think Roald Dahl is a genius, and I felt like he needed to be represented on this list. Do I think that he was one of those where, for me, because I had so many authors I wanted to put on, I put him in the top 20 because I wanted him to be represented,
mm-hmm.
and I didn't know if anyone else was going to vote for him. If this was something where my ballot was the top 50, he probably wouldn't make it into my top 20. But I think he is important and fascinating author.
Cool.
If you haven't read him from since childhood, check him out. Nathaniel Hawthorne.
I recognize this name.
Scarlet Letter.
Oh, yeah.
But he also has written some more supernatural stuff, the Young Goodman Brown story. So, yeah, I actually did my undergrad final senior paper. I did a project on devil figures and Nathaniel Hawthorne. So there you go.
Hmm.
Brian Lifton, fantasy author of the Chivice series. Brian Aldiss, various short stories. Larry Niven and Jerry Purnell. I think Niven got an independent vote, but they write so much together, I grouped them together. Famous for their Legacy of Harriot series, Lucifer's Hammer. Larry Niven's famous for Ringworld. I haven't read enough of them. Two very, very prolific authors, though. Rick Riordan of Percy Jackson.
Oh.
A YA author.
You know what? I haven't read those books, but my mom is a huge fan of Percy Jackson series, and he did another one. So that one's the Greek mythology.
Yeah.
Feel free to laugh, Ben. I mean, you're trying to hold it in.
My mom loves Percy Jackson.
She seriously loves him. And then he also has done the Egyptian gods in their own sort of young adult series. So yeah. She's also into that because she likes ancient Egypt. I've seen the movies for these. Yeah. And I'm going to tell you, you'll be surprised. No, I do kind of enjoy them. No Harry Potter. Don't get me wrong.
No Harry Potter. But, speaking of people who are overranked on this list, we'll get to her.
Okay. Anyways.
Yeah. Mercedes Lackey, who is a very prolific fantasy author. And the person who voted for her, or one of the people who voted for her, she received a few votes, put in a little paragraph in her ballot. So I'm just going to read that because I don't know a ton about Mercedes Lackey, but she deserves a little representation. So this is from Megan, who wrote on her ballot, "I discovered Mercedes Lackey through a book she co-wrote with Anne McCaffrey. There are many stories I could tell about discovering her writing, but I'll just say that her books have simultaneously entertained me and made me think, and I still look forward to each new book that comes out." Oh, thank you, Megan. Michael Stackpole, famous mostly for his Star Wars Expanded Universe stuff. A vastly underranked member of this list, Ursula K. Le Guin of the Earthsea Chronicles.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
that one. I got to add to my 2020 list.
Yeah, she's a great author. She deserves to be much, much higher.
During one of our very first ever read-alongs, we did which book? Earthsea, what was it called? Wizard of Earthsea?
Wizard of Earthsea.
Yeah, I started that. I got to finish that guy. I brought it back to the library, and that was all she wrote.
Oh, man.
Figuratively.
Yeah.
She actually wrote more.
She did write more. She
just didn't read it all.
She's still going, too.
Yeah. So, Wizard of Earthsea. This is one that I've read a portion of, I believe, 6 to 7 chapters, at least.
I thought you were going to say pages. No.
I vividly remember reading these. And, it's kind of about a little guy who gets some powers. And I feel like there's some boats. I think he travels by boat a lot.
Yeah.
I think he ends up on an island.
So there you have it, everyone. The Earthsea Chronicles from Matt Anderson. No, these are some of the greatest fantasy novels ever written. I highly recommend them. All right.
That's it?
That's it. Patricia Wordy, C. Wordy, I don't know. Fantasy from the Enchanted Forest Chronicles. Kevin Hearn, fantasy author for the Iron Druid series. And now, Matt, somebody you voted for, who I'm shocked she's this low, even though I haven't read her books, but I didn't care at all for the movies, Suzanne Collins.
Yes, now, just a little warning here. I really liked The Hunger Games. I loved Catching Fire. I hated Mockingjay. Yeah. But I liked Hunger Games and Catching Fire so much, she got my runners-up vote. Plus, I think I've mentioned this on the show before, but Hunger Games was instrumental to getting Des, my wife, and I to start talking. It was kind of a common interest at the time. Yeah. And so, to me, The Hunger Games and Susan Collins will always have a special place in our now married hearts.
Oh,
so
that's sweet.
So may the odds be ever in your favor, Ben.
Yeah, how about that? Robert Jordan, The Wheel of Time. I did not vote for him, though I have read all of his books. Well, all of his Wheel of Time books. I haven't read some of his other stuff. Yeah, Robert Jordan's one of those authors where I just can't recommend him. Can't recommend him, even though he does have a special place in my heart for nostalgic reasons. Clive Barker, The Hellbound Heart. He's a horror author. If you've ever heard of the Hellraiser movie series, Matt, are you familiar with that?
Yeah, that's a movie, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's based on that book. I haven't seen any of the movies, but people might be familiar with it. I know, it's like scary. Yeah. Bram Stoker, you know him.
Dracula!
Yeah, well done.
Thank you.
Richard Matheson, this was my...
I know this person.
Yeah.
How do I know? I this is one I recognize, but how do I know it? Give me a hint.
I...
Robot?
Am...
Legend?
Yeah! Yes! Congratulations! Yeah, I love Richard Matheson. Yeah. And so much better than the Will Smith movie. I mean, that movie was just, it wasn't like the worst movie I've ever seen, but talk about fundamentally not understanding the book. Richard Matheson, very prolific author, written so much good stuff. What Dreams May Come, Hell House, he's fantastic.
I remember one of his books was the inspiration for the movie Omega Man.
Yeah, that would also be I Am Legend. He was my number 10 on my list. I love Richard Matheson. He was also, did you know, Matt, that he was he wrote a lot of the screenplays for the original Twilight Zone series?
I didn't, but that's great because I am quite a fan of the original Twilight Zone series.
Yeah.
I've seen 6 to 7 episodes.
I think I've seen about that many now, too, because I was watching him for the 25 things to watch before 350. Oh, an author I think we're both familiar with, Frank Peretti. Our first Christian, everyone.
Oh, well, that's nice
probably
work.
Not true, but yeah.
You know, I've read one book by him, and it was co-written by one of my favorites, Ted Decker, House, and I hated House. This is my least favorite Ted Decker book I've ever read.
Oh, and that's saying something.
Yeah, that's saying something. So, Frank Peretti's never been, oh, wait, whoa. Who wrote the This Present Darkness?
That'd be Frank Peretti.
Okay. I've also read part of that. I'm on chapter 37.
Yeah, it's on your currently reading list.
Yep, I'm currently reading it. I haven't technically read it since 2009.
It's been a while.
But I'm on chapter 37.
this is what never ceases to amuse me about your reading style. Is if it's been 5 years since I last turned a page, I'll start over.
Oh, no, I can't do that. Do you know how few books I'd finish if I started over? There's so many books I get back into, and I'm like, in the middle of it, I have no idea what's going on. And then I kind of pound through it, and eventually I figure things out, or not. But
well, this one's
Lord of Light. Remember when I read Lord of Light?
Yeah.
Same thing. I
got through that pretty quick.
I think your memory might be a little off.
Well, it wasn't a 5-year break.
No, not five.
Yeah.
But at least 1 to 2.
Yeah.
So...
Frank Peretti, he's about spiritual warfare.
I'm not a fan.
I liked him. I mean, I don't know that if he'd hold up, but I read a lot of his stuff growing up. That was like the edgy book we were allowed to read. So.
All I know is I want to finish This Present Darkness so I can check it.
Well, if you're not a fan, don't read it.
No. You know how I am, completist, when it comes to reading my books. Just let me say this. So I'll finish the book. I see you want to stop me. I'll finish the book, get my check mark on Goodreads, and then put him aside.
You know, Goodreads isn't like a scorecard for life.
Goodreads is sort of like my homework.
I think this assignment's overdue. No, but if you're not enjoying it, just stop. There's so many better books. So much more to read, you know?
You know what I have allowed myself to do in the last year?
What's that?
Skim.
Oh, yeah, that's okay.
So then it's like I feel like I'm still finishing, even though I'm just flipping the pages like, okay.
There's an angel. There's a demon.
I'm not positive it's chapter 37, but I do know I'm in the back quarter of the book.
All right.
So I'm
You're
close.
The home stretch.
Yeah.
Well, maybe that's a goal for the next, before 2020, is finish this present darkness.
Okay, I'll add it to the list. I've been adding as we've been talking.
Yeah.
At the end of this episode, I'm going to tell you where we're at with 2020.
Okay. Charles Dickens. Who you might say, he's not supernatural, not so fast.
What? Christmas Carol,
everyone. That one's a classic. All right, Matt, you're up again. Ken Grimwood.
Okay, now this is one I feel very strong about. I would highly recommend this book called Replay. Now, in this book, what happens is a guy, maybe in his 50s, I'll say, has a heart attack, dies. But don't worry, that's not a spoiler, because this happens in the first few pages. Guess what happens, Ben?
He's back.
With all of his memories, he actually goes back into time and starts his life back over from a younger age, not from childhood. I think he maybe is 18 or something, and then he replays his life. And then guess what? He dies again, and guess what happens?
Goes back again.
So I think you get the idea.
Yeah.
So the interesting aspect is not just that he's reliving his life, but he's reliving it with all these new sets of memories.
All right.
Man, that's such a sad story, too. The author had planned to make a sequel, and it ends in a way where it's satisfying, but you can see there's still more that could be told. But the author died prematurely.
Yeah.
So, so we only have Replay out
and
there.
And unlike what happened in his story, did not go back.
We never know. Who knows? Because we're in the original timeline.
That's true.
So, yeah, I'd love it if somebody would continue on with this idea, but he's no Wheel of Time author.
No, it's not going to happen.
So, yeah, I like this book a lot.
Yeah, it's your number 8 on your list. Your number 8.
That high. Wow, I really like this book.
Yeah.
Really stuck with me. Read it first in the year 2008, and this is one I'd actually consider going back and reading again, and that's saying something.
You don't really reread, do you?
I barely ever reread.
I love to
Narnia.
Reread.
I've reread Narnia.
Yeah.
But other than that, I can't think. Oh, I've reread some Ted Decker books. just the Circle trilogy.
Okay.
But yeah, this I could see myself rereading this.
All right. Well,
he's
good.
Done some other fantasy work too, but I haven't read that.
Yeah.
All right.
Maybe branch out to those. Jake Bible, who wrote, he's written kaiju stories, some monster stuff. I think kaijus were the monsters in Pacific Rim, but I'm not entirely sure. Haven't seen the movie.
Me either.
Warren Hammond wrote the Cop series, and Cop is spelled with a K.
That's wrong.
Oh, it's edgy. Sci-fi author. Tim Powers, who I've tried reading a couple of his things. I don't like him very much. He's a fantasy author. The main work that was singled out by the person or people who voted for him was the Anubis Gates, but he also wrote the book on Stranger Tides, which became the source material for Pirates 4. So you have him to thank
really?
For that. Yeah.
So Pirates 4 used a different book totally disconnected from the Disney Pirates universe.
Yep.
Interesting.
But it was about pirates.
They adapted a book for their Pirates series that had nothing to do with Disney or Pirates.
That Die Hard 2 did the same thing.
Oh, it did?
Yeah.
That's interesting. I didn't know that they did that. Do you mind if I interject here for a second?
No,
I did a
no.
quick check because you were wondering before. You know we have the Star Wars expanded universe, but what's the Star Trek expanded universe?
Oh, see, I didn't actually care when I said that.
Oh, I was going to let you know that in some circles it's called Star Trek expanded universe. In some circles it's called Star Trek spinoff fiction.
What do the Trekkies like the least? Because that's the one I would like to use.
I think it's way easier just to say expanded universe.
Okay, that's what we're going to do.
Let's just do that.
Shane Johnson, a horror author of The Last Guardian. Raymond F. Jones, sci-fi author of The Lights of Mars. Chris Wally, sci-fi author of The Lamb Among the Stars. Gail Carriger wrote various Victorian fantasy, The Parasol Protectorate. I don't think that's up my alley. Cormac McCarthy, author of The Road, one I intend to read quite soon. I've read No Country for Old Men, and I think he's an interesting author. I don't understand what he has against quotation marks, but something. Wu Cheng En, a fantasy author of Journey to the West. H.M. Hoover, sci-fi author of The Reigns of Aradin. Norton Juster, fantasy author of... Do you know this, Matt? Mm-hmm. Well, it's A Book of Lost, The Phantom Tollbooth.
That's A Book of Lost?
I'm pretty sure.
I don't remember that.
Yeah. Jane Austen, I'm not sure what qualifies her as sci-fi or fantasy, but Dan Ford, who voted for her, maybe you could enlighten us on that. I was going to have you call in about her and defend it as a sci-fi choice, but she didn't rank in the top 100, so there you go. Terry Brooks of the Shannara series.
Oh, you hate him.
Well, I've got nostalgia for him, but he's a terrible author. Really bad author. Lois Lowry, Matt, you're up again. Your number 7 choice, The Giver.
All right, so I've already mentioned The Giver. Actually, maybe that was in the last episode, but this is a book that really stuck with me from all, I mean, of all the books I read in school that I was required to read, this would be my number one book that I was required to read. Just twists and turns. It was young adult fiction before that was a thing. It's got the dystopia. It's the originator of dystopian fiction, I'd say. Came out in 1993.
Wait, you think that this book started dystopian fiction?
No, sorry. I misspoke. Like, you know, in the young adult.
Oh, okay. Type. I was going to say, I could list a lot of examples way before
this. You know, in the young adult realm, The Giver has a lot of pieces in place that current hits like Divergent and Hunger Games have, the upcoming Maze Runner. The Giver was doing that long before. It came out in 1993. A young Matt Anderson read this book in 1996.
Whoa.
Speaking of rereading, just reread this book in preparation for the new movie coming out. Haven't seen the movie as of this recording, but definitely even in the reread, even though I knew what was going to happen, I still was captivated by The Giver. Other people may know Lois Lowry from Rats. Number of the Stars. Fiction, but not sci-fi. So she's a well-known Newbery Medal winner from my childhood.
Giver. I should read this one. I haven't read it.
Yeah. I found out in adulthood that it's actually part of a, not trilogy, but quartet. She calls it the Giver Quartet. So we've got The Giver that came out in 93, then Gathering Blue came out in 2000, Messenger came out in 2004, and Sun just came out in 2012.
Wow.
So I haven't read the other books.
Yeah. Andy Weir, a author who just came out with a book recently called The Martian, which I don't know anything about, to be honest, but I've heard it's quite good, so I'd like to read that one. And then my number 7, Christopher Priest, just a brilliant, brilliant author.
Christopher Priest wrote for comics.
No.
Yeah, I think he did.
Nope, not this Christopher Priest.
Does he have another name too? Because this Christopher Priest had I think that's his writer's name.
That's his actual name.
I'm gonna look into this. Be right back.
Okay. Christopher Priest did write the novel that the Christopher Nolan movie The Prestige is based on. His books are absolutely fascinating. They're designed like puzzles where they're filled with paradoxes and stories within stories that he plays around with reality a lot. Some of his books are very, very challenging and unconventional because of that. I would recommend starting with Inverted World. It's one of his more famous books and introduces a lot of those elements, but isn't quite as mind-bending as some of his later stuff. But I love Christopher Priest.
I can confirm that there is Christopher Priest, who you're referring to, a British novelist.
Yeah.
And sci-fi fiction writer. And then there's Christopher Priest, who I'm referring to, well-known comics writer, but born James Christopher Owsley. So there's a little bit of an age difference there.
Yeah.
But if you like Black Panther, Christopher Priest actually had a pretty good Black Panther.
See, I thought you were going to say, if you like people named Christopher Priest, check out his stuff.
So that's my addition, or that's my insight into Christopher Priest.
Well,
I did like the Prestige movie.
Yeah, it's a good movie. Should read the book.
One of my favorite movies.
All right. that's a recommendation. Okay. J.C. Hutchins, the Seventh Son series, sci-fi series. A.A. Milne, Winnie the Pooh. How about that? Winnie
choice.
The Pooh got a relatively high vote.
How about that?
Con Eagledon, fantasy author of the Con Dynasty. Gregory J. Keyes, a fantasy author, but got voted for his Babylon 5 novels that he's written.
That's interesting.
Dean Koontz. Have you read any Dean Koontz?
Yes, but I read one that was not sci-fi exactly, but more high tech yeah. fiction. I read Soul Survivor.
Oh, okay.
Not good.
He's not a great author. He's written a ton of stuff, and a couple of them are okay. But
interestingly, although I did read that as a junior higher or a high schooler, so yeah. quite a while back.
Megan Whalen-Turner, fantasy author of The Queen's Thief. Christopher Polony, The Inheritance Trilogy. Oh, Aragorn, that was a bad book.
Well, that was written by a kid, right?
Yeah, he was like 16 when he wrote it. Which
so why? Okay,
bravo to him for getting published at 16, but doesn't change the fact it was crap.
How did that work out? How did he get published so fast? Was it that the publisher just wanted to kind of cash in on the gimmick of a young author?
I don't know.
Because you're saying it's not good. So
well, no, it's not. But lots of crap gets published.
That's true.
Brandon Sanderson's cranking out books all the time. L. Frank Baum, you know who that guy is.
Yes, definitely. He's on my things to read by 2020, The Wizard of Oz.
The Wizard of Oz. John Scalzi of the Old Man's War series. I read the first couple of these sci-fi novels. I don't think he's a very good author, but apparently some of you out there disagree. Ian Colfer, I don't know how to say this guy's name, but he wrote the Artemis Fowl fantasy young adult series. China Myville, fantasy author. I've read a few of his books. He's very interesting. He wrote, his most famous one is Perdido Street Station. Hmm. He also wrote a book called The Scar. If you like somebody who is very imaginative, not necessarily the best novelist, but very imaginative, I'd recommend him. It's worth checking out. And the final runner-up.
Whoa.
This is it. James Swallow, who has written various video game novels, various Star Trek novels, and even a 24 novel.
Interesting.
How about that?
Wow. So, I mean, and we've had some great conversations, people, and this is just the beginning.
This is the beginning.
We've only shown you the runners-up, but coming up next time we record and next time you listen, actually, I don't know what order we're releasing these episodes in, but eventually you're going to hear 100.
Well, I imagine we're going to release them runner-up part one, runner-up part two.
Yeah, something just like that with the numbers there for you.
Yeah.
So, coming soon, who's the 100th author? Yeah. Who's the 99th author?
Well, it could have been James Swallow, but he lost the tiebreaker.
Oh, what was the tiebreaker?
First round tiebreaker was whoever got the most votes.
Okay.
Second round tiebreaker was random.
Okay.
Nice. Yep. There you go.
Well, everybody, lots more to come. We have 10 additional episodes of this coming up soon. So that's all from here. I'm Matt Anderson.
I'm Ben DiBono.
Thank you, Ben, for your hard work.
Oh, thank you, Matt, for being a reader.
And we are the Sci-Fi Christians.
It's really dumb. Yeah, goodbye.
Signing off. Okay, so question for you.
Yeah.
Actually, we're still on. I had promised I'd list my 2020, and then I have a question for you.
Okay.
Here's what I put on my list so far. A Wrinkle in Time.
Yep.
Brave New World.
Yep.
Watership Down.
Yep.
Alice in Wonderland.
Yep.
And possibly Through the Looking Glass. Wizard of Oz. 1984, which I'm in the middle of, so we're in good
well,
shape there.
Middle?
Dante's Inferno.
Oh, my. That's ambitious. Are you going to stop at Inferno?
Paradise Lost. What do you mean, stop at Inferno? I know there's three. Just kidding.
Well, it's like a whole story.
But there's three, right? Three
books. But that's not like three separate stories.
Yeah, it's on by 2020. Paradise Lost.
All right.
Wizard of Earthsea.
Yeah.
And This Present Darkness. So that's all I've got so far.
Well, that's a solid list.
I'll add to it throughout.
What about Homer? Because you'd ask me about the translations.
Yeah, we'll come back to that.
Don't want to get too crazy before 2020.
So, question, I guess we're on the air still. Do you want to, when we do the actual countdown, do you want to do it where we, over the course of time, we just record episodes here and there? Or do you want to come over some afternoon and then we just do a ton at once?
Let's knock them out.
You want to do that?
Yeah.
I think it would be fun. And then we'd kind of keep everything uniform because we just do it in one afternoon.
Yeah. The one...
We could do maybe five on one day and five on another.
Yeah, let's do that.
Okay. Because, I mean, even if we keep them at 30 minutes, I mean, that's still kind of a long session.
Like a lot to try and do in one day. That'd be 5 hours.
Let's do... Five and five.
Sounds good to me.
So we can talk about that later. But fans, I'm glad you're sticking with us here while we're away. I hope you're enjoying these countdowns. And I guess that's it.
All right.
So long,
folks.
Goodbye,
everyone.
This podcast is a proud member of the Crossover Nexus.
The Crossover Nexus.
A group of podcasts and blogs exploring faith and pop culture.
Faith and pop culture.
Find more podcasts that engage your spirit and imagination at www.crossovernexus.com.
That was beautiful.
That was beautiful. Want to fade that out?
Yeah, sure. Why not? And there it goes. Is it fading? Mm-hmm. Did I press it right?
Sounds good.
Oh, there it goes. Goodbye.